fighting for America.
The 12-member jury decided not to press charges against Officer Darren Wilson.
Stop assassinating black people!
Tom got smashed up. Police car's on fire.
You need to stop throwing objects at the police.
One of the tear gas canisters on the street. Dispersing right now.
Fighting for Idaho.
This is 5 million people being given amnesty that Congress rejected, that the American people have rejected.
Fighting for you.
It's just such a great time of year to really be grateful for what we have and to celebrate what we've accomplished over the year and also to do things for others.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. I think we've done our, what is it, up to six Facebook posts, soon to be two Twitter feeds and a partridge in a pear tree. Good morning. Kevin Miller with you at 580KIDO, keeping live, local, compelling radio alive here in the year 2014, Idaho's first radio station, 580KIDO, and it's good to be with you. I hope you had a happy and joyous Thanksgiving, although my mind wants to say Halloween for some reason. It is truly a blessing to live in Idaho. It's a blessing to be with you, and we'll get to that in a minute. And I have to thank everybody, and we'll be doing this all morning long, who contributed to our Treasure Valley Turkey Challenge. Over 538 turkeys. Again, big ups to our friends at Team Mazda, Nelson's RV, the Boise Rescue Mission, and others. And I had a chance, and I really didn't tell a lot of people this, and some people kind of figured it out, and some people didn't, that I wanted to do something special for the holidays. And I decided to, I guess, become a real person as opposed to a caricature of one that we know and sometimes love on the radio. And I decided to fly back to New Hampshire last week to surprise my parents. Yes, for all you keeping score at home, I did in fact take Mrs. Miller, and she had a chance to see what happens when they had the fourth largest power outage ever in that state, and what happens when all the crews come up and the big nor'easter comes in, and how do you deal with 14 inches of snow in less than a 24-hour time? And usually during these things, I'm like you. I'm addicted to the local radio, and I love it. In fact, there was a young lady last night in church, and I guess we're confessing our sins this morning, and isn't that compelling to wake up to? She said, "Hey, I listened to you, and I want to thank you for being there, and you know, I'd like to meet your, you know, my sons." And I said, "Well, I'm really sorry. I'm beat, so I'm going to pull the Miller maneuver and leave right after communion." And I guess the reason why, and so I apologized to that young lady last night. And I guess the reason why I'm saying this is I just had a chance to kind of take a look at what's good and what's bad in our country from a perspective like you do. And I think that, and I've said this many times, we're very blessed to have what we have here today, because mark my words, if we had 158 people, 1,000 people here without power, we would be on going nonstop until the power has been restored. I've done that. And I think that local radio provides that unique service. I mean, we live in such a world where we take it for granted that our car is going to start, that the heat's going to be on, that the internet is going to work, and life is great. And then when the power hits, when the power hits and that breaks, what happens next? Well, all of a sudden we're back to 1971. We don't have the internet. We don't have television. And it's incumbent upon broadcasters not just to play music or to want you to go to some bar, but to serve the public. And I think that's our unique gift to you, and we enjoy being here and providing that. And it shows me just how fragile our infrastructure is. Now, maybe with this new Congress, we can all of a sudden start putting in underground power lines, as, you know, President Obama thought about doing. I know Alan L. Morton and I have talked about this. You and I have talked about this. we really need to do a Marshall Plan for America, where we waste money is with the Afghanis, the Pakistanis, the Iranians, the Iraqis, and all these other folks that could care less about us. And we need to be more Machiavellian. We need to invest in America, right? And we need to do so right away. And you take a look at the schools. You take a look at our roads. I mean, do we have a plan? And I can remember, what was it, like 4 years ago, we'd have these folks on. I'm sure they still listen because they're great folks that own the food store place in Meridian there on Fairview, right by the village, or our friends at Survival Solutions, or Alex from Patriot Pawn and Gun. And I'm just mentioning these people because they have a unique grasp on what happens when the power goes off. Do you have water? Do you have the ability to eat? And there's a huge industry, you know, the preppers and such. You know, what to do, what can you do, and that sort of thing. And it really hit me as people, again, 158,000 people, a tenth of the state, because I think there's, what, 1.5 million? It's very similar to this state as opposed to population, not in size. But what do you do? I mean, what's our plan? And the government has let us down by giving us the bogus health care. I mean, let's face it. We've done the best we can, I suppose, by sipping the Kool-Aid as opposed to eating it. But, you know, are you ready to go? And it kind of hit home to me as I was just out and about watching people that didn't have power, that were at the coffee places, warming up, just our immediate needs. We take it for granted that it could all be taken away. And I think that's where we are in America today. By the way, the phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, we can sit here and go on and on and on about Ferguson. And we can go on and on about how Ferguson is, you know, a symbolic of America. But I have seen, and I explained this to Dave Burnett last hour, I've seen both the goodness and the badness of America. Now, do we all have prejudicial bones in our body? Yes, we do. Have we all said bad words in public or private? Well, most of us, if we're honest, will admit to that. You know, are there some people that live by the unfortunate racial stereotypes that we've seen in popular culture? Yes. Does this great state get a bad name because of the ignorance of a few? Yes. But we could argue that all across the country. I'm sitting here listening to Fox News, and I know it's one of the slowest cycles of the year, but here we have people talking about Ferguson. Oh, Ferguson. I don't know about you. I'm sick and tired of hearing about Ferguson. It's very simple. We're sorry Mr. Brown lost his life, but we've made it so racially toxic in America that we've abdicated personal responsibility upon this man who had the ability to save his own life by not going after the cop, Mr. Wilson. Now, former Officer Wilson. And even the questioning, if you saw the Good Morning America piece with George Stephanopoulos, who has never been in a life-harrowing situation in his life. I mean, here you have swarmy, schemy, sneaky George Stephanopoulos basically calling out this officer. Did you do everything that you could? Maybe he should have beaten you to a pulp before you defended yourself. I mean, let's face it, guys. America is not that bad. And yet, what do we hear again and again? People, and I have a lack of a better term for it, ginning up people, making these crazy statements. Let's take a listen.
Stop the war on the black community. Stop the war on the black community. Stop the war on the black community. Stop the war on the black community.
Right. Stop the war. Stop the nonsense on every community. And I like the black community, making it more segregated. Shouldn't we desegregate our society? And a little bit about my past. I lived in Birmingham, Alabama, all black neighborhood. I chose to live there. Didn't have a problem. I what did I do? I went to an all-black high school in New Orleans, Louisiana. O. Perry Walker. I didn't have a problem there. Was I called names? Yeah. Was I racially whatever? Yeah. But was I shown love and compassion by the so-called black community? Yeah. And I mean, the beauty of America, and let me just put it to you this way, and I'm just so amazed by it. And yes, we could talk about Gabriella Douglas. And gosh, if I could put together a sentence, I'd write this book and 27 others. But the issue being, if America's so bad, why do we have so many interracial adoptions? Of course, the media doesn't want to play that story because it's the, you know, it goes against the narrative that America is horrible and we're racial. And yeah, there are people that discriminate. It goes both ways, though. Just one side is reported and one side isn't. Okay. Take a look at the Duke LaCrosse case, number one. Number two, at 580-KIDO, by the way, 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Take a look at number two. When we're talking about adoption, and I'm sitting there watching this family, and I'm sitting there at the airport, stressing out, going to the bathroom 27 times. Maybe that's a little too much information so early in the morning. And I see these two little boys, brothers, one black, one white. The mother, white. And one little child, both of them, call the mama, mommy. And I said, if America was so bad, that mom would not have adopted that young man. And I go, that is the beauty of America. Not this stuff that we're hearing.
No racism! No racism! No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
If you do not clear the roadway, you are subject to arrest. If you do not clear the roadway, you are subject to arrest.
See, and if they get arrested, then all of a sudden the police are racist. And then they had protests across the country. And where I happened to be was just outside of Boston. And the people are, you know, trying to close down the mass turnpike. Well, if you're dumb enough to get on the turnpike, good luck to you. And because it's so bad in Boston, it's so bad in New York, it's so bad in Los Angeles. I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, give me a break.
Almost all of the gunshots that Michael received, he could have lived from, except for the headshot. And so the headshot, the kill shot, was to the apex of his head. It is my opinion that given the fact where his head was positioned at the time of that shot, that this officer had other reasonable means that he could have subdued Michael and failed to do so.
Right. The 6'5", 340-pound Michael. And by the way, I love the St. Louis Rams all of a sudden. Now they're, in fact, holding up their hands. He wasn't running away. He was moving towards the officer. I guess because of past racism in this country, the officer should have felt compelled to take the beating instead of protect himself. Guys, gals, America is much better than this. Your phone calls next, 618-580-5436, 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to work safely.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Can't we all just get along? Whatever happened to that song, Ebony and Ivory, by, was it Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney?
He had to resign because he's trying to get the benefits associated to his employment. All those benefits that he would accumulate if he stayed for 20 years, I think this was all about leverage, and they did it in a tactful way because there was so much backlash. And it, quite frankly, where else was he going to get a job?
I think he could get a job here. I'm sure somebody would hire him in the West. By the way, this just in from the president, he is going to convene a Ferguson task force today. Is that right?
Today I'm taking an action fully within my legal authority.
Boy.
Same kind of action taken by Democrats and Republican presidents before me to spare the lives of two turkeys, Mac and Cheese, from a terrible and delicious fate.
You know, he just he just has to stick it to people, doesn't he? Where he's talking about within his authority. Just something there. He just can't let it go. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Coming up, if you missed the Darren Wilson post-Ferguson interview, we'll have that and his thoughts. I just think that we tend to make our own problems. And maybe it's a simple, an issue we have with life. You know, we have a conversation, we overanalyze things, we overthink things. And maybe with this, not maybe, with this Ferguson thing, we should just look. It happened, it was bad. If they're going to sue, let them sue. That's their legal right to do so. Linda and Emmett with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good. Sounds like you had fun going back to New Hampshire.
It was everything that I thought it would be, including the stress of the travel. I didn't think that the power outages would happen, but you know something, Linda, I can't be a hypocrite. I'm always talking about family and such, and I had to do that, so it was really good. Thank you for asking.
Well, you know, it's funny because I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and we used to get these god-awful lake storms that would come in. But in all my years of living there, I never saw an 8-foot snow pile up in Buffalo. And it sounds like the storms are getting a little worse and a little worse, and it makes me grateful to be here in Idaho, where 6-8 inches is really really nothing to worry about. But what I've done is, in order to prepare for that, in case we lose our power and, it takes a while to get to us, I've got a wood-burning stove that we use to heat the house. I can cook on it. I've got a collection of kerosene lanterns. So I'm set to go. If we lose power, now water would be different. Water would be different, but, that could be a stickler. But, when you live in snow country, whether it's New Hampshire, Vermont, Pennsylvania,
Idaho,
New York, Idaho,
Montana,
Wyoming, Montana, wherever, people would think to themselves, like, maybe I should get some canned goods in. Maybe I should buy a Coleman stove and get some Coleman fuel so I've got something to cook on. People don't think. They're so used to being, flipping a switch and turning on a.
I'm with you, Linda. Now, we talked a little bit about that. What about the Ferguson situation?
Oh, Lord.
Don't we live in the best country ever?
We do, absolutely. And I don't think, and this is my own opinion, I don't think we're ever going to find out really what happened. It's a lot of, for me, conjecture. Did this young man turn around and try to go after the cop when he was sitting in his car?
Right. I like how what they said. Why did you go after him? Well, he was breaking the law. Linda, thank you for the call. Jim in Middleton with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Oh, just trying to make sense of some of this nonsense.
Well, here, I can make some sense for you. Okay, I'll get a few things clarified.
Sure.
First off, Kevin, what happened after the Ferguson decision was basically the exact same thing that happened that night when Michael Brown defied the law. Okay? He wasn't going to have any cop, probably a white cop. As Eric Holder said, we're a nation of cowards when it comes to race. He's right, because not enough people tell it like it is. And the fact is that Michael Brown was a thug, and he defied the law, and this white cop. And the night that the decision was handed down, what did all of the black youths do? Exactly what Mike Brown did. He defied the law, they feel that they're entitled, and they're just going to do what they want anyway. And the problem with the people on the left, Kevin, is that there is not enough racism. They would wish that the racism that they claim exists really existed. But the fact is, it does not. And the two biggest bigots that we have are Barack Obama, actually three, Michelle Obama and Eric Holder. These people are racist in the first order. Kevin, how many black people do you see in Idaho?
I've never really counted them.
There's not a lot, is there? But there's some.
Yeah.
Okay? And they claim that Idaho is a racist state, but yet they can live in Idaho and move around the state freely. You try to do that in Ferguson or Atlanta or Chicago, or you and I, Kevin. And this is what galls me. So Eric Holder's right that we are a nation of cowards when it comes to race, because most white people are hiding in the sand. They really are racist, but they don't know what to say.
Or,
stand up and shove it back in their face.
Or they're apologizing for being white. Jim, I got to go. Thank you.
You bet.
All right, much more on this. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:39, Kevin Miller with you here. We go live to Rachel Sutherland in Washington, D.C., Fox News Radio. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
And we've all had our turkey, our cranberry sauce, and here we go. Now it's time to get back to work. Is Congress going to do anything, or are we just going to lead by, oh, no, we're running out of money?
Well, you know, they do have a lot to do, and one of them is funding the government. However, this is a lame duck Congress, so they didn't get a lot done before they left for the Thanksgiving holiday. But they are set with passing a spending bill before December 11th, which is when the government will run out of money. So they either need to pass a short-term fix, they're called a continuing resolution, or possibly a longer-term fix, which is an omnibus spending bill. It's kind of unlikely they'll actually come together for something long-term. More likely they'll have a short-term fix, but there are some who might want to hang up that spending bill because of the president's actions on immigration, the executive actions. But I don't think the American public really has the appetite for a government shutdown. So I think the likelihood is they'll get something done. They'll get some kind of spending plan into place.
What about the great shadow, Rachel, of the lame duck Congress, where some people have nothing to lose, some people are very bitter that they've lost, and they've decided, you know, they don't really have the fear of public backlash because they're out. Does that play into this at all?
It would, I guess, if they have the support. The ones that are on the way out would have to be able to get people to stand with them, and I guess they'd have to get their other ones who are on the way out. There's a lot of consensus building that goes on Capitol Hill, and you need to be able to get stuff done with groups of your colleagues. And so for somebody who's just kind of upset over having lost or upset with the government, they can't act in any kind of rogue kind of way. They're going to have to get the support to do it.
Right, but again, there's not a lot of, if I'm losing my seat, what do I care? I mean, I'm out and I got to go get a real job. What besides the spending, anything else looming here, perhaps budgeting Iraq, Afghanistan, any of those big things looming?
Yeah, Kevin, there is reauthorizing the fight against ISIS. There's a plan in place, of course, to arm the Syrian rebels and others on the ground rather than putting U.S. troops on the ground. And so Congress needs to authorize that. That's upwards of $6 billion. And some are concerned that the president really hasn't consulted Congress on the ISIS plan, and they'd really like to see him do that. So that could be one bone of contention there. There's also $6 billion in funding that the president's asked for to fight Ebola. So there's that. And there's also the nomination of Loretta Lynch to become the next attorney general, replacing Eric Holder. But all indications are right now that that will be moved to the next Congress coming in, that they just simply won't be able to get to that.
Rachel Sutherland joining us, Fox News Radio. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Rachel, has there been any back channel politicking? I know it's been the holidays, but you know, people trying to get in that right position to be a mover and a shaker in the new Congress?
Well, as far as that's concerned, I mean, certainly they'll hold leadership elections and that kind of thing. They've done some of that. And but basically, yeah, they've been on vacation, and we'll see how it shapes up this week. You know, another fight that's been brewing has to do with reauthorizing some $400 billion worth of tax breaks that have expired. And there was actually a bipartisan deal to be able to revive those and get that going, but the White House is threatening a veto. So that's another fight that could be brewing on Capitol Hill. But I think really topping the agenda really has to be the spending plan that, again, December 11th is when the current spending plan ends. It expires.
Rachel, anything else of note, or is it have we covered just about everything? I feel, you know, I've got 2 minutes left with you. I guess that's all I have.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a lot to get done, mm-hmm. and we'll just have to see how it shapes up. Like I said, they didn't really get a lot done heading into the Thanksgiving holiday, so we'll see if they are any more motivated. A lot of them will be moving out of their offices, they're going home, and then they'll be switching offices. So really, Capitol Hill is just a busy place this week.
Now, you bring up a good point, and if you can expand a little bit on that, when leadership moves a little, people move in and out of their offices, because if you're in power, you get the good perks.
That's right. I mean, if you're going to be, in this case, Mitch McConnell, who's going to be Senate Majority Leader, I would imagine, I'll have to confirm it, but I think he gets new digs. And so it's not just the legislative priorities that are going to be getting done, but boxes being moved around and offices being changed. And at the same time, you have the Capitol building covered with scaffolding. I mean, it's just a really busy place and a lot going on. So and then they've got to make way for the new Congress that's coming in. So as far as the actual pecking order of offices, I'm not sure how that works, but certainly there is one, and you would think that Mitch McConnell's going to get new digs, better digs.
I'm with you, Rachel. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. Our friend Rachel Sutherland joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Oh, it's not all gloom and doom. We have Tanya J. Powers of Fox News Radio to talk a little turkey. Turkey? I thought we had enough of that last week.
Adrienne O'Hara with Toys R Us let me take some of the hot toys for a spin, like the little live pets lovebirds.
They actually tweet and chirp back to each other, so it's very sweet the way that they work.
Disney's Frozen is still big, too, and Snow Glow Elsa sings when you press her amulet. There's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Stretch and Shout Leonardo. Parents, think Stretch Armstrong with an audio twist.
His arms stretch up to an 8-inch wingspan.
Zoomer Dino is an animatronic dinosaur.
He can actually respond by not just the movements, but also by the color of his eyes.
A few of this year's cool toys. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News Radio.
Don't you love the kids and the grandkids? Don't they keep you young? I was sitting there watching, I don't know what it was last night. I guess it was the Jabroni football game. And, you know, maybe when you were growing up, you saw things that you could or couldn't relate to. Like when I was growing up, it was always people remembering the 60s. Everybody loved the 60s. The 60s were the it thing and the bell bottoms and everything else. The 70s, it seems kind of like the 90s. Maybe it's an odd year thing, gets shortchanged. But everybody, again, loves the 80s, except if you don't. Well, anyway, so I'm watching a Honda commercial last night, and did you see the big Honda commercial where they have Skeletor from He-Man? No, not the actor playing Skeletor in that goofy movie with Dolph Lundgren, but the actual toy, and he's selling Honda minivans, or is it a Honda hybrid SUV kind of thing? And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I want to get that. There's a good book out. It was called Spend or Spent. Why, you know, the psychology or sociology behind why we buy things, the impulse, like a BMW is associated with, you know, you're cool, you're sexy, you're tough guy or whatever. You're that cool James Bond type. And BMW tries to reinforce that. When I'm sitting there watching this and I'm going, man. And then they had what, the Weebles or Legos and all these other classic toys selling cars. And Honda's a great car. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, why don't they let the cars? But I thought it was brilliant how they're doing these things. And, of course, whether it's Thomas the Train or anything else, we'll all be out buying toys. In fact, when I was on sabbatical, Mrs. Miller had never seen the how should I put this, the gladiator-type shopping that you see in New England, and there were just lines everywhere. So, and we'll throw this off to Mr. Petso when he joins us next hour, but at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, do you believe that the economy has recovered? Now, if you've invested in the stock market, you're doing great. If you've invested in the stock market, things are wonderful. On the other hand, a lot of people, a lot of good people, a lot of hardworking people are working more and getting paid less, right? So when you go to the store, do you just kind of do what we all do? Well, I'll figure out how to pay for it sometime. Or has the recession responsibility still taken hold? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. I'm just amazed at you would think that this Ferguson story is just the number one story in the world, never mind ISIS. Never mind the evil that we face. And to me, it seems that the media just loves to undo the greatness of our great country. Coming up next hour, we will take a look at, well, you know, has the economy recovered? Are you feeling the economy recovering based on shopping and everything else?
The notion that somehow you can shoot to wound just simply doesn't work. You train police officers to shoot for mass. You train them to shoot to stop. And the only way you can wound somebody or shoot a weapon out of the hands is in the movies.
There you have it. That is former New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly talking about the shoot to kill and everything in the movies. Now, could we ever see anything like that happen in Idaho? Most folks have moved here from other places. And they're happy about that, and they certainly want to make sure that things like that don't happen here. It shows you how blessed we are, and to me, it's the country has nothing better to do, and that's not to demean the life of Mr. Brown, but isn't it a simple case of 580-5436, 580-KIDO, isn't it a simple case that if you just listen to the police, You're good, right? You just do what the police tell you. Now, and because we live in our own enclaves, nobody likes to take direction. Heck, we all like to give direction. It's kind of like, you know, a saying of another book that I haven't written yet. Everybody wants to be heard, yet no one wants to listen. And that's what we're seeing here. We're talking about the police need to do this. We heard it in that interview with George Stephanopoulos with Darren Wilson. Did you do everything that you could? Well, there's a certain amount of fear, like this morning when I woke up and my garage door was open. I didn't open my garage door. After a thorough interrogation, we determined Mrs. Miller didn't open the garage door. Was I acting appropriately? No, I had some fear. I was afraid the bad people were going to get me. Now, hopefully, the garage door at the Miller House will not be open anymore. If that does happen, we'll be calling Mr. Garage Door Company because that's just not how things happen. But there's an element of fear whether you're trained for it or not. We see it on the battlefield. Wouldn't we see it with police officers? And yet, no one is cutting Mr. Wilson a break.
I had gone to open the door and get out of the car. And when I did so, as I was opening the door, I said, hey, come here for a minute. And that's when he turned and said, what the f*** are you going to do about it? And slammed my door shut on me.
Yeah.
Slammed the door shut?
Yes. I used my door to try and push him back and yell at him to get back. And again, he just pushed the door shut and just stares at me. And as I look back at him, all of a sudden, punches start flying.
He threw the first punch?
Yes.
Gee, George, what a great job of reporting. Yes, a smallish or an average size male white guy is going to, because he has a badge, he's going to Barney Fife this big man. By the way, I love the photos here. I mean, aren't we doing a disservice to the police in America today? I mean, Pat Buchanan writes this here at 580 KIDO. The police were portraits in restraint as they were cursed and showered with rocks, bottles, and Molotov cocktails. If the police were at fault at all, it was their refusal to use the necessary force to stop the rampaging mob that destroyed the lives and livelihoods of honest businesswomen of Ferguson, men and women of Ferguson. Many people say they're not going to rebuild, right? Quickly to traffic at 580 KIDO with Kevin. And to my friend, Two Fly Bri, I'm sorry y'all hung up. We could have gotten a plethora of seconds, probably even 30. Coming up next, we'll take a look at money. Have we really recovered? Then if we haven't, why are we buying? Plus, your calls on the issues that matter to you. Kevin Miller in the Morning can always reach me. Kevin Miller Show on Facebook. Kevin Miller Show on Twitter. And, of course, at 580KIDO, not to mix everything up. We're just getting started. Stay with us. Sure,